Hello, and welcome to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 13th, and my name is Amanda McKay. During this season, we'll be reading passages of scripture and devotional thoughts from our Advent devotional guide, titled Dwell, God with Us. Today, I'll be reading Isaiah 43, verse 1 through chapter 44, verse 8. And after I read the passage, I'll share some of my devotional thoughts on the passage. I'll be reading today's passage in the New International Version. Today's devotion is titled, Fear Not. All right, let's begin in Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I, and not some foreign God among you, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days, I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not bought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Those I sent to teach you rebelled against me. So I disgraced the dignitaries of your temple. I consigned Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. But now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Isaiah 43 and 44 are set in a time after Israel has received the consequences of their sin. Now, God's chosen people live in exile in a foreign land with foreign gods, living as servants to the Babylonian king. In the midst of their difficulties, they wonder if God has forgotten about them. Surely, this is not the life God intended for them. Furthermore, they begin to wonder if God really is who he says he is. Is God really all-powerful? Is he really good? I can imagine all of these questions flooding the minds of the Israelites as their faith gives way to fear. The words in these chapters are written from God's perspective as a response to Israel's doubts. While they are a defense, these words are first and foremost meant to be an anthem of hope, as God fiercely defends his own glory by reminding the people of Israel not just who he is, but who they are. He is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, Creator, Redeemer, and Savior, a God whose presence is literally with his people from the crossing of the Red Sea to the fiery furnaces of Babylon. Thus, they have no reason to fear. Israel has not and will not be abandoned nor forgotten. The Lord their God has chosen them and will save them. Though they have wearied God with their transgressions and their hearts are far from their Creator, he will make a way for these transgressions to be blotted out, giving nations in exchange for them. This is the free gift of grace, and his plan for their redemption will be unlike anything the world has ever seen or expected. We know this plan of redemption comes through Jesus, a native of the nation of Israel. Through him, the presence of God now dwells with his people. The promises of Isaiah have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled. He is doing a new thing. Though the people are still blind in their sins and deaf to the Lord's voice, the Holy One of Israel has sent a Savior, and through him, redemption comes. But the cost for this redemption was much greater than the nations referred to in Isaiah. Jesus, God's Son, offered his life as the ransom for Israel and the nations. God demonstrated his glory in the manger and on the cross so that hearts that were once distant could return and take up a new name in praise of Jesus. Through the first advent of Christ, we are living in the days foretold in Isaiah as the Spirit has been poured out. And yet, like the Israelites, we are in days of exile, for this is not our true home. We endure hardship, suffering, and difficulty, and our faith might even be threatened. Hopelessness comes and wreaks havoc on our lives. Many times, the fears of the exiled Israelites become ours as well. Has God forgotten me? Is God really who he says he is? Is God really good? In the coming of Christ and the pouring out of the Spirit, the answer to these is a resounding no. Hope bursts forth through the ashes of our grief and anxieties. Our redemption and salvation have been assured, and we have the very presence of God with us in the middle of the pain and brokenness, comforting us and strengthening us as we yearn for Christ's second coming when all things are made new. Here all nations will be gathered unto him as sons and daughters, dwelling eternally in the Father's presence. I can imagine the face of our Father as he looks upon us on that day. Perhaps he'll welcome us home and say, "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Until then, fear not. He is with us even now. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for your presence with us, God. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, as a free gift of grace that we can have relationship with you. Thank you for sending your spirit so that we know that your presence is always with us, God. As we go through hardship and difficulties, as we wander in a world that is not our home, and as we yearn toward the day when all things are made new, I ask that you would make us increasingly aware of your presence with us, Lord, and aware of your spirit within us and around us, God. I ask that you would comfort us and strengthen us as we face fears and hopelessness in our lives, God, and help us to know that you have not forgotten us, nor have you abandoned us, God, and you are really good. You are who you say you are. And thank you that you are our Redeemer and our Savior. Thank you for saving us and redeeming us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.